You know, it's a wonderful thing that God is doing in this generation, a wonderful thing that we see happening in the house of the Lord. But it's a strange thing that a person can be in the house and yet at the same time be on the outside looking in. There were times, actually years, that I personally sat in this house, in this congregation, and heard what we heard tonight and saw what we saw tonight, and even to some degree felt what we felt tonight, but was still on the outside looking in. And usually when people give their testimony, they point over here, they point over there, they know exactly where they sat during the times that they first began to come to this church and first began to become acclimated to our culture and to our way of life and to the gospel that we love. I remember sitting there. I was always as far into the corner as I can get, as far away as I could get. Of course, I'm not like that anymore, but in those days, I used to find the farthest corner. Well, anyway, I was on the outside looking in because there were needs that I had in my heart, questions that I had and concerns that I had, and they were prominent to the degree that I thought until those things have been answered, those questions, those concerns, those issues, you know, where was God, when, and so on and so forth, issues like that, or, you know, the issues of creation and the concerns of evolution and all the issues of philosophy and theology and all the things that were flying around in my mind and that flies around in the minds of most people. I stood at the gate, if you will, at the gate of God's grace and the gate of God's mercy and the gate of God's beauty. I stood at the gate, and basically what I said to people that I would enter into conversations with was something to the effect of, can you answer my questions, or can you meet that need that I have? If you can do that, then I will, on some level or another, come deeper in. But up until that point, I was on the outside looking in. The Bible tells us about a man who stood at the beautiful gate, and he asked people to meet his need. He was at the brink of God's favor, at the brink of God's grace, at the brink of entering into the temple, but he never entered up until that point. I don't know how many days he sat there. Bible doesn't say specifically. It simply said that he sat there every time the temple opened, and he would ask that his need be met. In his case, he was asking for silver and gold, asking for alms, asking for change, or whatever the case might be. But he could have been asking for anything as it pertains to meeting his needs. He could have asked the philosophical questions or the theological questions. He could have said, you know, where was God when I was being hurt? Or where was God when I was being abused? Or he could have asked questions like, you know, what does it mean to be a human person? What is human worth? Do I have a soul? Is there such a thing as eternity? He could have been asking the basic questions of life, questions of economy. Why was I born poor? Or why have I struggled all my life? And all of those questions. He could have asked the medical questions. You know, why am I lame? Why am I sick? Why am I hurting? He could have asked all those questions and basically said, if those needs are met, then I might come in. But the truth of the matter is, those needs, if they had been met, he would have simply gotten what little he could at that particular time, and then he would have gone back home. If Peter and John, who were going into the temple, had simply given him money, which was what he was asking for, well, he would have just taken that money, he would have gone home, he would have come back the next week or the next day and did the same exact thing. And for me, it would have been the same as taking money and putting it into bags with holes in it, or putting it into pockets with holes in it. A person could have answered all my questions, but I still would not have been satisfied. And I would have just come back the next week and asked the next person, why did I grow up this way? Or why did I suffer this thing? Or why am I in this condition? Why am I, as in my case, why am I living in the street? And why am I having to deal with the extreme elements of cold and heat? And why don't I have the accommodations that the average person has? Or I mean, all kinds of questions. No matter how they answered, no matter who answered, I would have just been back the next week asking somebody else. So what Peter and John did was simply said, I'm sorry, I don't have what you're asking for. They said, silver and gold, I don't have. I don't have what you're asking for, but I tell you what I do have. And then they just ran down a few things that they perceived to be the greater need. First thing that they did was they said, look at me. And what we find is, instead of passing by this individual, and instead of ignoring him, they probably saw him there time after time. They probably recognized his situation. The Bible says that they looked intently at him and then invited him to look intently at them. In other words, what they said was, instead of me trying to answer all your questions, first and foremost, let me make sure that you know that I know that you're here. And let me make sure that you know that I know that it matters to you that somebody recognizes your existence. You know, for me, it meant everything to know that somebody knew that I was alive. Because when you're living on the streets of New York City, even though you see thousands of people every day, you oftentimes don't feel that anybody knows that you're alive or that anybody cares that you're alive. And so it's one thing for somebody to answer my litany of questions, another thing for somebody to acknowledge who I am. After a certain amount of time, I began to realize that the reason that I'm asking the questions is not so much that I want the answer, but I want to be answered. I just want somebody to interact, somebody to communicate, somebody to validate my existence. What they said was simply, look at me. So they stopped, they looked intently at him, they said, look at me, and then they simply gave him an invitation. The invitation was, while I don't have the things that you're looking for, I invite you to walk in Jesus' name. Very simple. I know who you are. I invite you to look and see who I am. And then I invite you to walk in the name of Jesus. Very simple formula. They could have tried to answer every question. They could have tried to dealt with all the ideological questions and all the theological questions and all the philosophical questions and all the economical questions and all the medical questions. They could have tried to deal with all those issues. Instead, they said, I want you to know that I know that you exist. I want you to know that you matter to me. I want you to be able to look at me. Just like we heard the testimony tonight, where you and I are invited to look at men and women who have been touched by the Lord. And then they say, look at me, not just, I'm just standing here, take notice of the fact that I exist, but they open their hearts and say, this is who I am. And then they say, I invite you to walk in Jesus' name. And that's what Peter and John said. I don't have what you're asking for, but here's what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. So basically they're saying, I'm inviting you to know that you're not alone, that there are people who know who you are, people who love you, and people who are not ashamed or afraid to show you who they are. And I'm inviting you to walk in the name of Jesus. It's just that simple. And the Bible says that they grasped him by the hand. In other words, they gave him the right hand of fellowship and gave him support. Basically said, you don't have to do it alone. I'm inviting you to walk in Jesus' name, but I'm not asking you to do it alone. You have people who love you, people who will take you by your hand, people who will give you the right hand of fellowship, people who will receive you as a brother or as a sister with all the rights and privileges that appertain thereto, who love you from the depths of their soul. And the Bible says that when they began to take him by the hand, well, he began to rejoice. He began to leap. He began to praise the Lord. In other words, he wasn't just listening to the songs anymore. And he wasn't just watching other people rejoice around him. He wasn't on the outside looking in, but he began to rejoice. And he walked into the house of the Lord. All of a sudden, no longer on the outside looking in. All of a sudden, no longer on the brink of the beautiful gate. No longer just at the gate. Now he walks into the house of the Lord. And when he walks into the house of the Lord, everybody in there knows who he was. And they begin to be amazed at what God does. So not only is there this open invitation to walk in Jesus' name, but now you also see the privilege of being a witness to the miraculous healing power of Jesus Christ. So that people around you can say, I know what you were like. I know where you were. I remember where you used to sit and all those kinds of things. And now all of a sudden, you're leaping in the presence of the Lord. You're dancing in the presence of the Lord. You're rejoicing in the presence of the Lord and in the presence of godly community. So the invitation is very simple: to walk in the name of the Lord, to become a part of the family of God, to no longer be on the outside looking in, but to know that you have a family, to know that you are loved, to know that you are known, to know that you are noticed, to know that you matter, and to know that the people that are around you are not afraid to say, look at me. They're not hidden from you. They're not hiding from you. They're not lying to you. To know that you have a community, to know that you have people who will take you by the right hand and give you the right hand of fellowship and give you the support. The Bible says that when he was in that house, he was leaning on Peter and John. You know, you have family. You have people that you can lean on at times. I had to know that. Now, there are people in this room, you have to say, Brother Will, I've been on the outside looking in. Clapping my hands as loud as anybody, but on the outside looking in. In some cases, you may never have known the Lord Jesus Christ. You may never have called upon his name. In other cases, you might have been a Christian at one stage, but you've turned your back, as we heard earlier. You know, that man that was sitting at that beautiful gate, more likely than not, he was a Jewish man, more likely than not, grew up in the synagogue, more likely than not, had some experience. But somewhere along the line, he was on the outside looking in. If God is speaking to your heart tonight, and you're ready to come in, you're ready to walk through the beautiful gate, to find your place among God's people again, to leap and to dance and to give him praise, and to know that when you are in this house and you're singing songs and you're clapping your hands, that you're no longer on the outside looking in, but that your praise is real. It's coming direct from your heart. And you are right where you belong. In God's hand, in his bosom, in his family, with his people, your family. I want to pray with you tonight. I know what it's like to be in this house, in this physical building, 20 years ago, on the outside, looking in. And I know what it's like to be on the inside, feeling at home, feeling like I'm among family. And when my praise goes up, it's pure praise. It's a wonderful song by God's grace. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. You heard the songs tonight. You heard the testimonies. You know your heart. You know when God is speaking to you. But you have to be really honest with yourself. You have to say, you know, I'm on the outside looking in. And I don't want to be at the brink. I don't want to be sitting at the beautiful gate and waiting until I get my questions answered or until I finally work through this and that. No, no. The invitation is simple: to walk in Jesus' name. Give him your life. If God is speaking to you, consider this me stretching out my hand. Consider the testimonies that you heard of each person who testified, just stretching out the hand. Consider all the songs that you heard of the singers and the musicians. Everyone just stretching out their hand like Peter and John in the days of old. Saying, I might not have all the answers to your questions. I might not be able to tell you where was God when you were being heard. Where I might not be able to answer those, but I can do you one better. I offer you Jesus. I offer you Jesus. If God is speaking to you, it's time to come in from the cold. Come to the front of this auditorium. We'll pray together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Precious Jesus. You know, the Lord Jesus that we serve has absolutely no problem stopping heaven and earth for one person. Has absolutely no problem. And when he laid his life down on Calvary's tree, when he shed his blood for you and for me, he saw you. He saw your face. He knows you by your name. You're not a face in the crowd. He knows you. And he loves you. And he's not at peace until you're here with him. There's something in his heart that just won't rest until you're with him. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Because you're my family now. You're my family. And whatever God has called us to do, we're going to do it together. You're home, where you belong. And we missed you. And we thank God for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Thank you that they've come home to you. That they've chosen no longer to be in the cold outside looking in, but they have chosen to enter into your wonderful presence. Thank you, Jesus, that there is no pretense here at this altar. These are true men and women of God, true penitents, true conversion, true broken hearts. I come to you because they love you. Because you've taught them to love you, Lord. You taught them to believe you. Taught them to embrace your cross. Taught them to say, God, forgive me. God, have mercy on me. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for running, but I'm home now. Thank you for drawing me to yourself. Thank you for making me your son. Thank you for making me your daughter. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for embracing me. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. We missed them. We love them. We're not complete without them. Thank you for bringing them home. And now lay your hand upon each one, O Jesus. For your own name's sake and for your glory. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We bless your holy name. Amen. Amen. Welcome home. God bless you.